A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and went as quickly as she could to a town in the hill country of Judah. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She gave a loud cry, said, "Of all women, you are the most blessed, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why should I be honored with a visit from the mother of my Lord? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Yes, blessed is she who believed the promise made her by the Lord would be fulfilled." This is the Gospel of the Lord. There's an old tradition that, as well as Luke being a doctor, Luke was also a painter. And in fact, it's claimed that the oldest picture of the Blessed Virgin held in Santa Maria Maggiore is painted by St. Luke. But whatever the truth of that, Luke has an ability to paint a picture in words. And all the events surrounding the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus are very strong, powerful images in this painting that Luke gives us. But Luke also has a lot of journeying or movement in what goes on. Some of his parables, you think of the prodigal son, where the boy runs off and then comes back home. Or you think of the Good Samaritan, where the man's on a journey. Journeys were part of an important part to Luke of his story. And Luke accompanied Paul on two of his second, his third journeys, and also his last journey when he went to Rome. Was he one of the 72 that were sent out by Jesus, again on a journey? Was he one of the unnamed disciples that walked that road to Emmaus? Certainly in his gospel, he speaks of Jesus setting his face to go to Jerusalem, to his destiny there. And the greatest story it tells us is about God's journey to us. God's journey into our lives to take us back home from exile to our heavenly home. And the start of it is Mary in Nazareth, then journeys as we got today on into Bethlehem. But today it says Mary went as quickly as she could from Nazareth to the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. That was En Karim, just 2 or 3 miles out of Jerusalem. So it's quite a journey. It says in the commentaries that it took about 4 days in the days that Mary and Elizabeth were alive. You think of that. A young woman on her own. It says that, doesn't say anyone else went with her, just that she was there, excited, self-confident, but also think of the dangers and the troubles that faced her on that journey. But filled with the Spirit, she went as quickly as she could. The message of the angel, as it were, Gabriel to her, got her moving, moving on this journey that God is making to us. When she gets there, she greets Elizabeth. But that too makes Elizabeth move. And not just Elizabeth move, it says the child in her womb leapt for joy. When Mary comes, Elizabeth's put in touch with her fertility in her old age. Because we know from the scriptures that Elizabeth and Zechariah were both old. And puts her in touch with whatever is growing in her, John the Baptist. And with that, she's filled with the Holy Spirit. Very powerful, this visit from Mary to Elizabeth. Mary, of course, when the angel comes, says, "You're already full of grace, but the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, because what will be born of you is of the Holy Spirit." When Mary then goes to Elizabeth, greets her, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so she becomes a prophetess in a way, because Elizabeth recognizes the mystery of the motherhood of Mary and proclaims it. And that's why the Hail Mary prayer takes up the words of the angel Gabriel, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you," and the inspired words of Elizabeth, "Blessed are you among all women." And that led to their joy. But the joy for Elizabeth was not in her coming child, but in Mary's child. Quite clear from the scriptures. That's the lovely little bit that we've heard. The joy isn't focused on John because her baby leapt for joy. The joy is on the Christ child in Mary. And so for Elizabeth, for Mary, for John, the joy is because the promises of God are being fulfilled. And so our first reading from Micah. Micah was a prophet who was contemporary with Hosea and for even a longer time of Isaiah. And all of Advent, during the weekdays and often on Sundays, we get Isaiah readings because Isaiah is full of the promise of God to deliver his people, which is also a theme of Hosea, and of course it's Micah's prophecy. And his prophecy is that God's promises are going to be fulfilled from Bethlehem. Now, most people always think it's the capital cities that really matter, and therefore it was going to be from Jerusalem. But it says, "No, you, Bethlehem." And that's why our focus as we get to Christmas is on that little town of Bethlehem, because they all point to the promise of God to deliver his people. The time that Micah, Hosea, Isaiah were writing was about 600-700 years before Jesus. That takes you back into the 14th century, if you think about it. In our terms, like 600-700 years back. And just think the time span of that from us today to the 14th century. What's been proclaimed is God's promises are being fulfilled. And that has happened. And that's what we celebrate. God's promises fulfilled in the Christ child. Old and new unite in Mary and Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Zechariah represent the old John the Baptist, the last of the prophets. That whole background, the whole of the Old Testament, summed up in the God's promises, now fulfilled in this young or new Mary and the promised child. Old and new unite in Mary and Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Zechariah represent the old John the Baptist, the last of the prophets. That whole background, the whole of the Old Testament, summed up in the God's promises, now fulfilled in this young or new Mary and the promised child. In an age in which so many people seem not to believe anymore in what we believe, that it's something very vague and we're not quite sure what it all is, it's when we're reminded about the truth and fundamentalness of our faith, that God made that great journey to us and actually has never left us. That's why there's a sense in which we're always full of Easter joy on whatever Sunday it is, because the Lord said, "Lo, I'm with you to the end of the age." Once God had made the journey, fulfilled all those promises in the Christ child, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace that we'll celebrate, he's never gone away from his people. And yet at the same time, we need to renew and refresh and celebrate again that great wonderfulness of God coming to us. St. Augustine observed that there is a joy that is not given to the ungodly, but for those who love God for his own sake, that is our joy. And that's a joy that is ours, and it's a joy that none can take from you. When Mary goes to Elizabeth, it's with great faith. Faith in what the angel Gabriel has said. Faith through the power of the Spirit. And that faith is welcomed with joy. And joy deepens faith. It prepares us for the real joy, strengthening our faith in that what we will beginning to celebrate now fully on Thursday, Friday at Christmas time is actually the Saviour of the world.